With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Avera eCare is joining a nationwide telehealth network to help nursing homes respond to COVID-19. Nursing Home Project Echo is part of an effort to improve virtual medicine during the pandemic. The program will cover safety and infection control to protect nursing home residents and staff. The virtual mentoring program lasts 16 weeks. It allows nursing home staff to work with peers and experts for real-time advice. In a statement, Avera eCare's Senior Care Officer Josh Hoffmeyer says telehealth technology can make the high-risk nursing home population safer as COVID-19 case counts increase. Avera has already used it to provide virtual doctor's visits for nursing home residents. Facilities that want to participate can contact Avera eCare's Senior Care Division. A program that helps people manage diabetes has filled an unexpected role. By helping participants adapt to the new virtual format, trainers are also helping them stay connected during the pandemic. Vicky Palmreuter is a master trainer for Better Choices, Better Health, which offers educational workshops for people with pre- or type 2 diabetes. She says the program helps people set goals to manage their symptoms through diet, stress management, and more.
Most people use a combination of those strategies, and that helps them remain healthy, avoid those early complications, and that really seems to be the most effective using a combination of strategies like diet and exercise changes.
Workshops used to be limited to face-to-face meetings, but that changed when the pandemic forced the workshop online. Palmreuter says program leaders began offering an optional session just to help participants learn the video chat software Zoom. She says the benefits spread beyond diabetes management.
Sometimes it helps people connect with their loved ones that maybe they haven't been able to connect with. So we're sort of doing them a service, I think, by helping them with technology so they can join these workshops. But then that technology assistance also helps in their connections to help with, you know, that feeling of isolation and loneliness.
The next Better Choices, Better Health Diabetes Workshop begins in January. Participants can register at goodandhealthysd.org. Black Hills Corporation is setting new goals to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. In its electric operations, the Rapid City-based utility wants a 40% reduction by 2030 and a 70% reduction by 2040. In natural gas, the company wants a 50% reduction by 2035. President and CEO Lyndon Evans spoke to investors on an earnings call. He said the company is keeping its coal plants in the short term.
Those are vital to our customers in terms of the low-price energy that we're able to provide them, especially reliable energy. But we've learned a lot about adding renewables, especially adding renewables that have been cost-effective, especially for our customers.
The company is adding or expanding renewable energy in all three of the states it serves, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Colorado. Those include wind and solar projects. The company is also joining a methane challenge by the Environmental Protection Agency. Utilities in the program seek reductions in methane emissions beyond regulatory requirements. Cultural organizations across the state are receiving more than $400,000 in grants from the South Dakota Humanities Council. The funding is provided by the CARES Act to help maintain operations for organizations struggling financially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ann Volin is the executive director of the South Dakota Humanities Council. She says many cultural organizations would not have been able to continue if it weren't for the funding.
We would have lost all that interesting, valuable way of understanding our state and, you know, the peoples in it, you know, if these different groups would have not been able to continue.
49 different organizations across 30 counties in South Dakota were awarded operational funds from the Humanities Council. Governor Kristi Noem is vocal about her pandemic philosophy. She does not support statewide business shutdowns or mask mandates. Noem's results are mixed. South Dakota has one of the nation's best economies. It also has one of the nation's worst COVID-19 outbreaks. Meanwhile, another Republican governor has a different approach. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Governor Noem's devotion to keeping businesses open has given her celebrity status in the Republican Party. She campaigned for President Trump across the country. Last month, she touted her record in Maine and New Hampshire.
What I did in South Dakota is what Republicans say we always believe. We just did it.
But not all Republican leaders agree. Vermont Governor Phil Scott is a Republican. But early in the pandemic, he ordered statewide shutdowns. He mandated masks. And when he reopened the state's economy, he did it slowly. He held regular briefings like this one.
My decisions throughout this pandemic, from the closures and other mitigation steps in March and April, to the methodical reopening of our economy, hospitals, and schools, has been based on the data, the science, and the recommendations of our health experts.
Vermont now has the lowest COVID-19 infection rate in the country. While South Dakota frequently suffers more than 1,000 new infections per day, Vermont reports fewer than 3,000 total cases since the pandemic began. Vermont reports fewer than 75 COVID deaths, while South Dakota has more than 500. Vermont also has one of the nation's most recovered economies. It ranks right behind South Dakota in some categories. South Dakota has the nation's second best unemployment rate. Vermont ranks third. Vermont Health Commissioner Mark Levine says his state has chosen a balanced approach to the virus and its economic consequences.
We felt we could reopen the economy and do the appropriate public health measures for the pandemic in parallel, and that you didn't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Vermont and South Dakota have some similarities. They both have fewer than 1 million people, including many who live in rural settings. But when the pandemic began, the states went in different directions. South Dakota's Governor Noem rejected statewide business shutdowns. She said they weren't sustainable. Instead, she issued an executive order. It listed suggested precautions for people, businesses, and local governments against COVID-19. But the order used words like should instead of shall. Reporters were confused.
I was just looking through your executive order. It says municipal governments should. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a legal requirement or is that advice?
Is telling them what they should do.
Noem refused to clarify, but it soon became clear she was not enforcing the executive order. Some cities responded with their own ordinances, shutting down or restricting some businesses. But without statewide enforcement, most local ordinances faded away. Noem eventually replaced each should in the order with a shall. In Vermont, Governor Scott used regular news conferences to give residents clear orders.
Sunday, I ordered the dismissal of pre-K through 12 schools, which began today. Monday, I ordered the closure of bars and restaurants statewide, though they can still offer takeout. And yesterday, I directed the closure of licensed child care centers across the state.
And the list went on. Those very different approaches yielded similar results at first. Both states' economies took a hit. Both used federal money to soften the blow. And both had few COVID infections for the first several months. Over the summer, things changed. Governor Noem hosted President Trump for fireworks at Mount Rushmore. 7,000 people attended the July event without a mask requirement. At public events, Noem is consistent, calling the science on masks mixed.
You all know that I'm opposed to a statewide mask mandate. I've been clear about that.
Then, in August, hundreds of thousands of people showed up in South Dakota for the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. In Vermont, Governor Scott imposed a statewide mask mandate. He announced they would give away 300,000 cloth face coverings.
I'm asking you to look at the data, the real data, not just something you see on Facebook, and realize that the science is real, and that wearing a mask will not only protect the gains we've made, but also help your family members and friends stay healthy.
Scott kept that mask mandate in place when he reopened the economy. He also kept other restrictions, like limits on gatherings. As South Dakota stayed open and Vermont reopened, their economic recoveries both outpaced many other states. But the two states' COVID trends diverged dramatically. On some recent days, South Dakota's deaths have outnumbered Vermont's new infections. Vermont has struggled with the virus and the economy. The state's Chamber of Commerce president, Betsy Bishop, says many Vermonters accept that the problems are intertwined. She credits Governor Scott with building that consensus.
It's pretty clear that our governor is not going to make a change in how he is setting forth the guidance that the science and the health of people will rule over the economy from now until this is past us. And I think, to be fair, Vermonters and businesses have accepted that as the right thing.
Governor Scott won re-election in a landslide this month. Even some Vermont Democrats praise Scott's handling of the pandemic. Howard Dean is a Democrat and former governor of the state.
Phil told the truth. He listened to the scientists. He was calm, and he understood Vermonters.
Vermont is getting national attention, too. The nation's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, sang the state's praises during a joint press conference with Governor Scott.
And I was sitting here listening to the numbers that you said, and I would wonder if I could bottle that and take it with me.
But Fauci also stresses the importance of vigilance. Vermont's infection rate is now rising. The state recently had its first ever day with more than 100 new cases. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.